Hi, and welcome to the South Central PA Mom Fireflies and Whoopie Pie podcast, where we discuss motherhood, local events, and everything in between right here in South Central PA. So sit back, grab a coffee a while, and settle in for the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. We're back after a Easter break. I hope everyone had a good holiday. Emily, how was yours?
It was really, well, it was a little different this year. We were at a funeral, so obviously that part was really sad, but we got to see a lot of family. So that part was special. And, you know, our daughter got to reconnect with her cousins. She doesn't get to see a lot. So it was bittersweet. There was, you know, some real good and some real crazy, but it all works out in the end. That's life.
Well, this week we are talking about International Cesarean Awareness Month. And that was something you were saying last week that you're really passionate about.
Absolutely. I know that a lot of times I feel like women who are C-section moms, there's almost a stereotypical bias against that type of a birth experience. And it's not for the faint of heart. I remember during the birthing class at the hospital before my daughter was born, they got to the video and it was just an animation of the process of a C-section. And I was so nervous about the whole thing, I walked out and refused to watch the video. So I was very surprised when I myself was an emergency C-section mom. So it was the recovery is very intense. And, you know, I'm just always so awestruck by how our bodies are designed and what we are capable of recovering from while caring for this tiny, fragile new life. And I believe firmly that everybody's birth experience is valid and unique and beautiful and different. But I have a real soft spot for my fellow C-section mamas. And I'm really grateful that in April, we pause and take time to reflect on what that experience is like.
Yeah, I will say, I'm a C-section mom too. All of my kids were born from C-sections. And it's still like to this day, how old is my youngest now? She's six. Okay. 6 years later, you look back and it's like, okay, you just went through major abdominal surgery and you had like what, seven layers cut through. And then it's like an hour later. Okay, here you go. Yep. Take care of this tiny person.
Oh, by the way, we expect milk to be kicking in right exactly now. So good luck with that.
Oh my gosh. Did you deliver at a baby friendly hospital?
Baby
an initiative. It's like you get this certification, baby friendly hospital initiative. So if you get the certification, they have a list of rules that you have to follow in order to get it. And one of them is you have to initiate breastfeeding within an hour.
And so I would not be surprised then if that's what the hospital was, because those lactation consultants were on me immediately.
They did that with my fourth. So that was the only one I delivered in a baby-friendly hospital. It was horrible. I hated every second of it. And part of it was because of stuff like this. I mean, you've been through it. You go through recovery and that's almost an hour. You know, if you're lucky, if everything goes perfectly, then you'll be back in your room within around an hour.
Which I was not, did not. I actually was very unconscious for most of the day I gave birth to my daughter. So I had a postpartum hemorrhage and my uterus collapsed and they almost had to do a hysterectomy on me at 29.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a crazy, crazy experience. I was not conscious for much of the day. I remember bits and pieces. I don't remember. This, I think, is the hardest part for me. It's why I really am passionate about trying to do everything I can to help mamas who have experienced birth trauma. I have no memory of holding my daughter for the first time because like you can clearly see it in photos. I was unconscious the first time they put her on me. And that's kind of hard to deal with, that I don't have those sweet memories of, you know, meeting I remember when the doctor first pulled her out, you know, they set her by my face, but you're still strapped down. You can't even hold your child. And it was shortly after that I passed out. I don't remember anything of the first time she was like put on my chest. So yeah, it was, but even with that, like, I do remember that first day, like the lactation consultants like coming in, I'm like, with all of the drugs that are in my body right now, you know, because you guys were trying to save my life and all that, like, is breastfeeding really a great idea at this moment in time?
Are you sure? Well, in my case, I was like, literally, they pulled me right into my room. I was still numb. And they're like, okay, let's sit you up to start breastfeeding. And I'm like, how?
That's nuts.
I can't move.
That is wild. Like within an hour of giving birth, I say dramatically, like you said, major abdominal surgery. It's just like, oh, good luck with this. Wow. That's
I can say that the dramatic part, it was, so my first birth was an emergency C-section, not as dramatic as yours. I was okay, but my son was not tolerating labor well.
That was my best situation like that as well with her C-section.
Yeah, he has a very large head. He did when he was a baby. He does. Big head. And essentially, he got stuck. Huh. And so we're in labor for 16 hours and he never descended. We weren't making any progress. Like I was dilating, but he wasn't moving down. And his heart rate kept getting lower and lower and lower and lower. And finally, when he got to 60 beats per minute, what struck me is how calm they were about it. You know, I didn't even really know in the moment that it was an emergency C-section because everyone was just very calm.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And so they're like, we need to go ahead and do a C-section. I had a midwife and, you know, I look at her and she's like, yes, we need to go ahead and do this. And I'm like, okay. Wow. And then, you know, it's only like in retrospect, I look back and compare it to the other ones. Like everything was very fast right in the OR. There wasn't anything like, the other ones, it was so much easier and like slower and like, okay, we're going to take our time and we'll just, you know, I don't know. Everything was just very quick, quick, quick. And like quiet. There wasn't a lot of like chit chat. And then he came out and he was blue and not breathing.
Ooh,
so it was good thing we did it.
Oh my goodness. That's terrifying.
But I will say, did you labor before your C-section?
I did. Oh, I did. That was what did me in actually was, everything was going awesome. I got to the hospital. I was dilated about 4 inches. It started like a dream. Like I got that epidural before my contractions were even all that painful. And like, I got to rest all night. The next morning came, I want to say they gave me a little bit of Pitocin to help me get that last centimeter. But then I was 10 and they're like, yep, let's do this. Let's start pushing. It was around 8 a.m. because I remember watching the clock at the foot of the bed and I pushed for 3 hours and I could not get her out. She was not coming out. We found out later that she was not breech, but she was facing instead of down, she was down. But correct me if I'm wrong. It's been a while.
She turned around the wrong way. Like her face was the wrong way.
Her face was the wrong way. Her face was like sunny side up, they called it, I think. So like when she came out, she had a big like dent down her nose because she was so pressed against me. Girlfriend was not coming out. So that was, it was at that point that the doctor came in. You know, it's been 3 hours, nothing is happening. And, you know, active pushing for those 3 hours. And my doctor came in, she's like, you know, I think it might be time to start thinking through a C-section. And I was like, this is what did me in. I'm like, I want to give it one last shot. And I gave it all I had to give. And I think that's what really messed up my uterus. I remember, it's funny too, because you know how they bring you all that paperwork you have to sign? But in the moment, it's just kind of like, it's so out of body. I'm like, does my signature even count? Oh, I remember. I had to sign all this stuff. And I remember feeling like it was a very weird thing. I'm like, it was so out of body. I'm like, is my signature valid right now? Cause I don't even know what I'm saying. But it was, I have to give such a huge shout out to Doylestown Hospital, which is where I labored and delivered. I was in the hospital for 5 days, or I think it was 5 days total, to recover, because then my hemoglobin, I think it was so low. 2 days later, they had to give me another. I think it was 2 blood transfusions immediately because I lost so much blood. And then I needed another one 2 days later because I was still so like not doing great. But it was very like the staff there. Like I remember even the janitorial staff, everybody they were angels. Like, not only do I credit them with saving my life, everybody was family. Like, you see a woman in distress and just everybody was all hands on deck. Like, when they took my catheter out to go to the bathroom, which was, I want to say, a full day later, they kept me catheterized because I couldn't really move. And you know that first moment where you stand up for the first time after a C-section and you just feel like, am I ever going to be able to bend at the waist again?
Oh, like, it's just my really fun feelings. My favorite is like when it feels like all your organs are sloshing around inside of you. Yeah.
You're like, if I take a step, are they going to like zombie style spill out
fall
of
out?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. And I don't, it's funny how like your mind kind of like protects you from like remembering the exact feel of the pain. But I just remember it was like the agony was unbelievable. It took two of the nurses to help me walk to the bathroom. And a maintenance lady was walking by and she glanced in my hospital room and she saw that like I was absolutely not okay. And I will never forget her dropping everything to also rush in and help me. Perfect strangers. Like, just, it's amazing how with birth, like, we women, we are all one. Like, and that's how it should be. Regardless of your birth experience, whether it was amazing and a dream and you're like gung-ho to do this again ASAP because it was a great experience, or you are severely traumatized from the whole thing. You know, I love that I see women and I try to be this woman, you know, we're checking in on new moms. We're appreciating and respecting that fourth trimester. We are, you know, asking how the baby sleeps. We're offering to babysit. We're offering to bring food. We're trying to, it all comes down, I think, to validation. My experience, your experience, like, it's all valid. It's all real. However, we're processing it is all genuine. And we just, maybe it sounds cliche, but we have to be that village.
Yeah, because it's hard. I will say that it's easier, just for anyone who's listening and is maybe like, oh my gosh, I'd have a scheduled C-section. The recovery, the reason I asked if you labored first, the recovery between my first one after I had labored for 16 hours versus the other four, which were all scheduled, was like night and day.
That is what I hear. Yeah.
It was so much easier. So if you have a scheduled C-section, you know, it is about a million times easier. Not to say that like the ones that are emergencies, like, it's not the end of the world, you know, like,
right.
It's that you get through it. You'll survive. You'll be okay. At least it doesn't hurt when you pee. I mean, that's about all I can say. I don't know.
That is exactly right. And I'll say this too, like, they prescribed me Percocet for like a while. And I weaned myself off before I cut the dose they prescribed me in half almost immediately, because I don't like being on, you know, intensive painkillers. I was starting to breastfeed. It was manageable. And again, like, what happened to me was very much not planned. I have so many friends who have had C-sections, and it was a very different experience. The recovery was a wildly different experience. So don't hear this and be afraid and think that this is like a typical C-section experience. It absolutely, unequivocally is not. So
second one, I was like doing laps around the ward, you know, because like I think I had read that it said like, oh, the more you walk, the better you'll recover. I'm like, all right, see how I'm feeling. It was night and day, night and day.
Yeah. So no fear, ladies. It all works out. And situations like that are rare. Those are not the norm. And, well, you know,
I think like regardless of whether it's scheduled or planned, and this is not to be TMI, but I think the most terrifying, there are two things, the most terrifying experiences after a C-section for me. And one was the first time you had to go poo. Because that was just like,
all
the pain medication is just like working against you. And it's like, it was terrifying.
Yeah. And it takes forever.
Yeah. And then the first time that we had sex after the C-section, because I was terrified. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to rip something inside, or I don't know. And then I'm not going to know I ripped something and I'm going to bleed to death, or I don't know. I don't know why I was so terrified, but I was terrified.
Yep. Yeah. 100%. I think after those four or five-ish days in the hospital, whatever it was, I think it took me until I got home, again, TMI, to finally like have a bowel movement. I just couldn't relax in the hospital. And Absolutely. you were on all the pains. I remember them prescribing me, in addition to the painkillers, it was basically like a medical, and like Tums, like medical strength. And so I think I still have them somewhere in my medicine cabinet. And yeah, that was a very weird part, because it was just like, you feel kind of like your body. I mean, you feel like your body's not your own when you're pregnant, but mm-hmm. with the recovery too, it's like, you have to be completely reintroduced to your body, and that can mess with your head as well. You know, that can also affect the recovery. And like, case in point, I had a whole, you know, cute going home outfit picked, right, to go home with my husband and our newborn. I went home wearing socks. My daughter was born in January, because I was so swollen from all the IVs and medications and whatever that I could not even get like Uggs on my feet. No shoes would fit on my feet. I had to wear the largest size of sweatpants I owned, because I was so bloated. And it was the funniest thing. It like, the bloating gradually went away day by day, but it was like, first it disappeared from my face, and then it disappeared from my arms, and then my stomach. But like, it was going down till all I had left was hobbit feet about a week later. But I remember, because, you know, I couldn't really walk, but I had these big old hobbit feet. And my poor dad, he's the best. But he was coming over to, I don't know, watch my baby or bring me food or something. And I was propped up on the couch with my feet out in front of me, and he couldn't help it. Like, he just took one look and cracked up. I'm like, I know, they're hilarious. Nothing fits. I cannot wear any shoes.
Anyone like warns you about it though?
They do not. They do not at all warn you about the swelling. But if you're hearing this and you're concerned about that, please don't let that scare you, because I'm telling you, it goes away quickly. Like, you'll be a little concerned. I do remember looking in the mirror the day after and crying and saying, I look like Fiona from Shrek. Just get me green makeup, because why do I bother anymore? Like, my face is twice the size it normally is. But then by the next day, that was gone. And then, like I said, it was like a slow deflation head to toe. And it does not last long. In the moment when you first look in the mirror, you're like, who is this person? Is this just what I look like now? It is not. Rest assured, it'll go faster than you think is possible. You are going to be just fine.
Well, and I mean, I don't know if you took labor and delivery classes and stuff. I know I did. Obviously, mm-hmm. that didn't work out for me.
Yep, same.
You talk about C-sections in there. But they don't tell you about any of this stuff. It's so surface level. And it's like all of these things to prepare you for labor. And they're all things that prepare you for vaginal labor. There was lots of in-depth stuff about that. But there was no in-depth anything about what to expect if you've had a C-section.
There's like a little video you watch about how the process is done. But it's made very clear that, like, this is not the normal way to give birth. Like, that's how they make you feel. And I think my message to moms everywhere is, however you give birth is normal. However you give birth is different. And however you give birth is right for your body and for your baby. And, you know, don't let anybody, like, I don't know. I've just heard so much, whether it's in pop culture or whatever, about how, like, or like, even people who are say they're C-section moms, but then they make, and if this is what you want to do, I respect it. I think you're amazing. I champion it. This is certainly not me coming down on it. But I remember I was in like one of those natural moms groups shortly after my daughter was born. I was looking for some solidarity, you know, as a new mom. I learned pretty quickly I wasn't going to find it with the crunchy moms. Me personally, again, if that's your thing, I respect it 100%. It just is not personally me. And there were a lot of women talking about VBAC births in there. So, of course, I had to look it up, what a VBAC was. But it was almost like this. I almost got the sense that these women felt like they had something to prove to themselves in terms of a birth experience. And I'm like, honey, one of the best things I ever heard about, you know, epidural, natural birth, C-section, vaginal birth, you know, labor for 3 hours or 30, like whatever it is, at the end of the day, nobody wins a medal. And that stuck with me because it's true. For however you get birth, baby, nobody wins a medal for how they do that. In the same
doctor, I remember who phrased it as, when I remember asking her, like, is it better to use an epidural or not use one, or go like natural? Mm-hmm. She said it's like flavors of ice cream. She said there's right. chocolate and there's vanilla, but one is not better than the other.
Exactly. And it depends on you. It depends on everything. And that's the same thing, you know, in my opinion, with a birth experience. And I think that if we would just, as women, as moms, just focus on validation and support and encouragement. I mean, I've got friends who, like me, delivered in a hospital with an epidural. They asked me what my birth plan was when I came to the hospital. And my honest response was, and I quote, all the drugs. And the nurse just kind of looked at me. What part of my face looks like I'm joking right now? But then I have friends, multiple friends who did home births with multiple children, you know, in a pool in their living room. And that was the right choice for them. So it's just, if we can, you know, never act superior or whatever about our own birth experience. I mean, and I also think, you know, those of us, especially those of us with daughters, like they're watching how we process. They're watching how we talk about other women. They're watching how we, you know, tell them the stories of their own births. These are things that, you know, they're processing as, you know, eventually as they get older and they think, you know, is this something I want to do someday? Do I want to have a child someday? And I think the way we talk about how babies are brought into the world, even from a young age, is so formative for our little ones. And it's so important that they see all of us mamas validating and championing each other mm-hmm. every step of the way through this journey.
Yeah. And I think that another thing that is maybe helpful for people to keep in mind is that, like you talk about the VBAC, I think a lot of women do that because they think, if I have another C-section, then I'm going to be limited and I'm only going to be able to have two kids or whatever.
Right.
And obviously there's the big caveat here. For some women, this is true because every person's body is different. Like everyone's body is different. But as a rule, that's not necessarily true.
That's like, correct.
I've had five C-sections. I've had five. And yeah. as of my last one, I mean, we're done having kids for other reasons, yeah. but yeah. as of my last one, for me personally, okay, I still did not have issues that if I had a sixth would have necessarily been like the worst thing. I didn't have a uterine window. I had like scar tissue and that was pretty much it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just kept on checking, you know, after my second, you know, I made sure to talk with the surgeon. Okay, how things looking there?
Yeah.
And yeah. She's like, you know, yeah, you look pretty okay. You know, make sure you give yourself the, you know, year to 2 years to heal. But, you know, if you feel like you want to keep going, that's fine. And so I just made sure to consult with them afterwards each time yeah. so that I knew what was going on. And the whole reason I say that is because, you know, don't feel like if you had a C-section that means now you're going to be limited. You might be. That might be what happened with your body, but it might not either.
That's exactly
you just
right.
Never know.
Everybody's, I had a boyfriend years ago who he was one of six and all six of them C-sections. Mom was okay. Mom was fine. And, you know, see, like you said, everybody is so different. Don't worry about it limiting you. Like just focus on what is best and healthiest for you and for your baby.
Yeah. And I chose not to have a VBAC and that was the right choice for me. And if that's the choice for you, that's okay too.
Exactly.
I feel like there's like a sense of shame of choosing to do that out of convenience. Like the superior choice is a vaginal birth. And if you're not doing everything you can to get that, then you're not doing the right thing or something. And it's like, look, you know, in my case, so I could have had a VBAC with my second. That was okay. an option. They were all about it. They were like, yeah, you're a great candidate. Let's do it. My husband was in Afghanistan. Ugh. He was not going to be home for the birth, and I already had a baby, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, my mom's going to have to come to North Carolina from Florida to watch my son while I'm in labor, which she's totally up to do. I'm like, but if I go in labor, how's she going to get here in time? And then I'm going to be doing what while I'm in the hospital? I'm like, nope, give me the convenience of the scheduled date. And I'm just going to do that. And then yeah. even with my third one, they even still, this is a great hospital in North Carolina. they were like, do you want to do a VBAC after two C-sections? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe. What would be the details? And they're like, well, you would just need to deliver in Wilmington, you know, it was like an hour away.
Oh my gosh.
And because you've had C-sections, we can't induce you. So just when you go to labor, when you go into labor, you would just, you and your husband would drive down to Wilmington. And I'm like, no.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. And maybe that's convenience, so to speak, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You do what works best for you.
Absolutely.
That's another thing that it's like, just you have this notion where the vaginal birth is the superior option. It's like, no, you know what? Do whatever works for you.
That's exactly right. If I could wish for one thing, you know, for my daughter's generation, you know, when they're dealing with all this, when they're, you know, thinking about having children and giving birth and all that, like, you know, my hope is that at that point in time, there's going to be no preferred way anymore. There's not going to be any like, well, this is superior or that is superior. No, no. As long as the baby and mom are healthy and here, that is what is superior. In the same way, you know, it's like fed is best, you know, rather formula, breast milk, you've got to figure out what works for your family. Born is best, however that baby is born. And, you know, that is something that I really would love to see shift, because there is that, you know, that stereotype, there is that kind of just this feeling that like, there's a preferred way, there's a right way to do this. And no, there really is not. And if you're listening and, you know, you're pregnant, or maybe it's your first time or second or third or fifth, whatever it is, and you are thinking through these options, just know that you are loved and you are supported, and whatever you decide is the right decision. And if anybody tries to tell you differently, you are not obligated to listen to them.
I'm curious, what would be your number one tip for someone that's is listening and is like going to have a C-section? Like, what would your
My number one tip for somebody who is listening, who is having a C-section, is to prepare a support network as you recover. Like, do that now. If this is something you know that you're going to do, you know, understand that, I think, like you said, you had that baby on you within an hour and they wanted you to be breastfeeding and ready to go. Regardless of how you give birth, they typically do things like that. Understand that it is major abdominal surgery. You know, your recovery, you're going to feel kind of funky down there for a while. You're going to lean against the kitchen counter for months and feel a little tingle, you know, at least. And, you know, embrace scar. It's that scar is, it quickly became my very favorite feature, because it's better than a tattoo. It's a symbol of me doing the strongest thing I've ever done in my life that I never thought I could do. Embrace the scar. Don't think that it's going to make you less beautiful. It's going to enhance your beauty. Lean into that. Learn to love it. It is my proudest and best feature. And just prepare now, you know, okay, maybe I already have older children. Here's who's going to watch the children. Line up somebody, maybe consider a postpartum doula. That's something I certainly wish I knew about when I had no idea postpartum doula was the thing.
Such a great thing to exist.
Such a great thing. I would absolutely consider that. I would highly recommend it. If you have family close by, that's amazing. See who's willing to take shifts so you can sleep. Because guess what? You're recovering from abdominal surgery and babies don't like to sleep on an awesome schedule. And this was the biggest thing that surprised me when I took that birthing class. You got to wake them up every 2 to 3 hours to feed them. I was, you know, raised by the generation that was of the mindset you let a sleeping baby sleep. So I was a little bit floored by that information. Line up as much help as you can now. So that way, when you do come home with baby and you're recovering, you're not floundering for help or like working yourself to the point of exhaustion, to the point where you're going to crash and you don't have the help when you need it.
Well, I also think that it's important to remember, like, that working yourself to the bone, like, it's okay if for the first month or 2 months or 3 months, whatever feels best for you, if you spend that time sitting in your bed with your baby and that's it. Other people can clean your house for you. Other people can do other stuff for you. You can sit there and get better and bond. That's all you have to do.
And anybody, take it from moms who know and who have been there. Anybody that would judge you on, I don't know, whether your food was homemade or you know, had food waiting or your house wasn't clean or whatever, anybody who would judge you on having or not having those things don't deserve a place at your table while you're recovering. Frankly, they don't deserve a place at your table at any point in time. But be kind to yourself. That's my number one tip for every mom. Be kind to yourself. Treat yourself to something. Love on yourself a little bit, because guess what? Everybody's going to be loving on your baby. And that's good. And that's right. But moms sometimes kind of get forgotten. They need a lot of love too, especially in those first few days, weeks, months, dare I say that first year. You know, it's okay. Like, one of the most powerful things a friend did within the first 2 weeks of me giving birth was drive to my house and insist you are leaving the baby with your husband and take me out for coffee. And, you know, find your village like that. Let people love on you. Don't think you have to do it all yourself, because you will feel that pressure. You will absolutely feel that pressure, but know that even though you feel that pressure, it's a liar and it's okay to rest. My gosh.
It took me until my last baby to do that too. Like my fourth one. And some of the reasons we didn't do this before were because it wasn't realistic. So, you know, I'm giving that kind of warning first that, like, look, if this isn't possible for you because of your finances or your job or whatever, you're a single parent, like, this might not be possible for you. And that's okay. You're not doing anything wrong. You're doing the best you can. That's all that matters. But I will say the best recovery I had was my fifth one, when my husband was like, you know, we're going to make sure that you're able to take it easy. And we had someone come in. She was our regular babysitter, basically all day. She came in for a week afterwards. And then for the rest of the month after I gave birth, she wasn't there anymore, but he was basically, I spent the month in bed and just sat there with Felicity, our baby. And, you know, I just would breastfeed her and sit there and we would hang out. And I did not really leave that bed at all for a month, except when I felt like I wanted to. And that was hands down my best recovery.
I believe it. Yep. 100%. So yeah, it's mom, take care of yourself.
Yeah. And I mean, I felt guilty, you know, but at the same time, I was also like, you know, this is great. And then I'm like feeling guilty, because I'm like, man, this is great. Wait, I'm not supposed to feel like this is great. I'm supposed to be doing mom stuff.
Yeah. Well, and society will make you feel like that. But just like I said before, remember, anybody who makes you feel like that, they're not your friends. You're going to be doing enough of that in your own head, making yourself feel, oh, I should be doing laundry. I should be vacuuming. I should be doing whatever. Try not to listen to that voice. It's hard. You're going to want to. And, you know, there'll be times that you will, but it's okay to lean into recovery.
Yeah. Well, Emily, thank you so much for hanging out and talking about this with me today.
Thanks. Having me. I'm very, very blessed to be able to have the chance to talk about this. It's something I'm really passionate about. And, you know, if you're listening and you're a C-section mom or you're about to be, please feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to send you a meal or some coffee, or after the baby's born, a bottle of wine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And just, you know, there's help out there, you know, even if it's before you're getting ready and it's like, you're taking those stupid birthing classes and they're not giving you any information. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. You can reach out. We'll answer questions for you all day long.
Absolutely. Let us be your village.
Well, I will talk to you soon then. And I hope you have a great week.
You too.
And we'll see you next week.
Talk to you later.
That's our episode for this week. New episodes will drop every Monday. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss out. Leave us a review and share to help other moms find us. Thanks for stopping by the Fireflies and Whoopie Pie podcast, the only podcast by South Central PA moms for South Central PA moms. Until next time.